Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me as always are Nick, Becca, and Mark.
Hey.
Hello.
Howdy.
Today we have an interview with Martin, the author of Dark Pacts and Ancient Secrets and the newly released Dark Alleys and Twisted Paths. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and good evening to everybody.
Yeah. I know we've been trying to touch base with you for a while. We did our Dark Pacts interview last season, earlier this season. Sometime before the present, and it's just great to finally be able to connect and chat with you about your work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to be on the show.
So my first question for you is, how did you get into RPGs?
So back, oh my God, in the mid-90s, I was still in high school, and there was an RPG club at my school, and they were playing this German role-playing game called Das Schwarze Auge.
Yes, the Dark Eye.
Yes, the Dark Eye, exactly. And got me hooked, and I've been gaming all the time since.
That is fantastic. Mark and I and Becca have played a lot of the Dark Eye. My wife actually edited some of the 5th edition books in English.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a small world.
The first time to meet somebody who knows the Dark Eye who is not German in the wild.
Oh yeah,
amazing.
I ran a campaign.
We should do another podcast on the Dark Eye then.
We could. It would be awesome.
I think back, oh God, in the 3rd edition, I met some of the authors, and I think I handed them some stuff that I wrote as like a school kid. And I think they even took some of ideas from some book. I might be mentioned in one of the books, but I never quite could track it down.
Oh, that's awesome.
So what's being played at your table right now?
So yesterday, we had a small convention here in Tokyo, and I brought the 13th Age stuff, and we did a little experiment. I don't know if any of you are into isekai animes, where school kids get hit by a bus and then end up in a fantasy world.
No.
And we decided to reskin 13th Age as that. And so we had a goth kid that ended up as a necromancer, a math whiz who ended up as a fairy chaos mage, a girl from the rowing club who ended up as a fire soul savage. And then we had this nerdy GM who ended up as a fantasy version of Dungeon Master from the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Yes.
As a Fate Weaver.
That's fantastic.
Oh my gosh. That was
extremely weird. But so the nice thing about 13th Age is that you can just take the basic rules and just reskin it and do something completely out there with it. And the system just goes, yeah, okay, this is happening now. We're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I've done a science fiction one shot once or twice. I'm noodling a superhero port for it.
So considering you start out in Dark Eye and you're doing a lot of 13th Age now, and it's been a decade or two since then, in your history of playing games, you know, I'm sure you've had experience playing more of the crunchy, mechanically focused games as well as the more narrative focuses. What, generally speaking, what kinds of games do you find yourselves being drawn to?
I just really like experimenting. So I play in a D&D 5e game, and it's completely fine, and I enjoy the system, and I've played obviously a lot of 13th Age, and looking at my gaming shelf, I see a Feng Shui, which is sort of Hong Kong action, which mm-hmm. is great. New Tama, which one of my friends in Tokyo is the translator of, and he got me hooked on that. We had a mage game, so I think what I like it as a creative outlet, but I also like the sort of crunchy, tactical, challenge the player to build in a good character and do the combats and, you know, be efficient kind of element to it. I know this has been a bit less favored by like more indie games, but I kind of enjoy it. I enjoy playing computer games like XCOM or Civilization. So I think the great thing about RPGs is that you can sort of combine the things. You have mm-hmm. the more creative, I create a weird character and I act it out, or I create a efficient build and I break the system.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
it's good if people go out and break the system and then tell me about it, because at least in my material, then I can go, okay, where did it all go wrong?
I used to run Shadowrun for Mark, and Mark, even his hackers were
combat
monsters. It was awesome. All right. So as a game designer and as somebody who plays a bunch of games, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the GM seat or do you prefer the player seat?
That is, I actually prefer the player seat because it's a lot less stressful and it's more relaxing. On the other hand, of course, as a GM, you have more of a creative outlet, and it's just so nice to just put something on the table and then see everybody else interact with it and sort of walk around and sort of my imagination. And that is super, super amazing. And I really enjoy it. It's just at some point it leads you to DM fatigue, and then you need to switch back to the player seat and just sort of enjoy other people's imagination and the stories they create. It's great that you can do both.
So DarkEye, for anyone who's listening, who has not heard of it, it is a very sort of crunchy, skill-based, point-by game set in kind of like very traditional German fantasy. How did you get from there to 13th Age? How did you get into 13th Age?
So we had a group here in Tokyo, which was playing first 3E, then we were playing 4E. And then it was about the time when 4E was sort of ending. And we were looking for a new game. And I just found this 13th Age playtest online. And I got the playtest document, and it was just what I was, I think, maybe intuitively looking for a long time. It had this nice combination of D&D-like fantasy, which I still like. It had fixed a lot of the issues that third edition was suffering from. But then it also had this more freewheeling narrative element, which a lot of people were, I think, missing from 4E. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it took out the combat grid and all these sort of very strict combat focus and made it more freewheeling. It had talents like the polysyllabic verbalization, I think.
Yes, Vance's polysyllabic verbalization. That's a great one.
That just showed me, wow, here's somebody who sort of understands D&D and who really loves D&D and really creates this love letter to D&D, which is also the tagline that they were using, same as Dungeon World for some reason. On the other hand, it supported this creativity that, you know, you can do anything with the system. And even as a player, you can go past what's actually just written in the game and put in your own spin on it. And I just love that. And I was hooked immediately, and I converted my group that I was running at the time. And then we have been playing it for a long, long time.
That's really cool. I have really enjoyed your Dark Pacts and Ancient Secrets books.
Thank you.
I've played the Abomination in them, and a friend is playing the Fate Weaver. And
you played a Scion, and they played a
Scion.
They played a warlock. Like, yeah. We've seen a lot of the classes at my table from that book.
Well, I've got a Fate Weaver and a Sword Mage at my table right now. So your book is definitely getting used.
Yeah. So just tell us about your thought process and why you wrote that one.
So, I mean, I loved 13th Age, and I've always been hacking systems and trying to expand them and trying to put my ideas in, which I think every GM does to some degree. Mm-hmm. And I was just missing a few of the classes that I liked from 4th edition in 13th Age, which obviously were the Sword Mage and the Warlock. Mm-hmm. And so I started hacking with it, and somewhere online there's still the very first edition of the Sword Mage and the very first ideas for the Warlock, and they were pretty bad. But then as I understood the system better, and as I kept iterating, it started to get playable, and I was in a game, and I just asked my GM at the time whether I could bring the Warlock to the table. And thankfully, he said yes. And he lived through all the broken iterations of it and helped me iterated to a point where it was playable without breaking the game. And that sort of gave me the confidence to just start exploring more ideas. So that's somewhere the Sword Mage came in. And Scion is a class that I always liked from D&D, but it was always just sort of out there. And it's always the class that gets added at the very end of an edition when people sort of start exploring more weirder things outside of fantasy. And so I also wanted to add this to the game. Savage was born simply from looking at the Barbarian and looking at, okay, this is a very simple class, but they get a bit less fun when they can't rage. So how about a class that gets to rage every combat? But how would you do that? Like, obviously, you can't just let them rage from the start. So how do you build up the rage? And there was a talent in the Barbarian default class, which was the one that gives you extra damage dice when you miss. But if you think about it, as a Barbarian, do you want to miss?
No.
Right? So there's this bit of a weird incentive where the class wants you to miss to be better. So it's like, maybe we should turn that around, right? I mean, what you actually want to do is hitting.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the Savage mechanic just came, was born from there. And I think I actually sat down one afternoon and wrote like most of it. And then this is probably the one class that took me the least work because it just sort of came out from somewhere as if it was sort of meant to be in the game. Whereas the other classes, I was struggling a lot with sort of how to make them work and going back and forth and how to set it up. Okay, two left. The Abomination. That was really inspired from these characters that you see not really in fantasy, but in like superheroes mm-hmm. and fighting games, you know, the guy who just sort of hulks out and just changes their body. That never really was done in D&D and in a way that's sort of satisfying, maybe because it's sort of hard to create a class that gets so much stuff that makes it different from the start. But since in 13th Age, the classes are sort of built to be encapsulated, they're sort of standalone and they get a lot of talents at the start. You can sort of set it up that you have a character that just starts out with these kind of different mechanics. And so that turned out pretty fun. And then Fate Weaver. Oh, yeah. I think that was basically an attempt to break the system.
Very successful.
Because I think the basic idea was to create an anti-chaos mage. So the chaos mage is all about adding more randomness to the system. And, you know, you have this high weirdness table where just complete bullshit happens, depending on what you roll. And so what about a class that tries to take the randomness out of the system? What about a class where you just go and say, you know what? You don't need to roll a die here. Just set it as 13 or whatever, and just pass the check. Or, you know, what about giving some GM powers in a magic spell and allowing people to just sort of rewrite the world in a way? And did it turn out to be playable? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you got to have, in my experience, I having a GM who is playing that character in your game. So Lee, who plays it in the Iconic game, she is a DM, and so yeah. She gets how to play the Fate Weaver in a way that is conducive to the table and not so much wahaha cackle with power. So I think that caveat helps out a bit.
We also have a Chaos Mage in that group, so we have both the Fate Weaver and the Chaos Mage.
Oh, dear God.
It's still alive, fascinating. Well, JM gave the game to me, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it broke JM?
Not that.
All right.
Well, Dark Pacts has been out for a couple of years, and it's met with great success. I mean, as we talked here, it's seen a lot of usage even at our tables. But then you started working on a new book that just recently released, Dark Alleys and Ancient Secrets. What can you tell us about that?
So the book actually sort of started when we also started 13th Age, because, you know, you look at all these classes, and then as you play them and as you watch other people play them, you see, oh, maybe this is missing, or maybe here is something where it could be tweaked a bit, and hey, what about this kind of spell? And so all this material started building up, and if you check the vault and some of the older articles, it's sort of evolved piece by piece by piece over the last, 5 years since the system is out. And so, I mean, as you know, I spend a lot of time in sort of 13th Age forums and Discord and Facebook, and people always come up with these, you know, this class is really nice, but I wish it could do this. And then, you know, I can go there and go, well, maybe we make that talent, right? Or maybe we make that spell. Or, you know, you look at some older D&D books and say, okay, well, actually here the wizard has all these schools of magic, and you can play an illusionist, and you can play an enchanter, and you can play a transmuter. So 13th Age has this really short spell list, and it didn't really go into this idea of wizard schools. But what if we just take a lot of pages and expand the system and give the wizard that ability back? And so it was really about looking at each of the classes, some from my own play experience, a lot from just watching other people play them or talking about them, and then how can I add some material to that class and make it more awesome?
Now, you put some of the earlier iterations of parts of this book up on Vault of the 13th Age. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing, I think it was the Barbarian and the Necromancer ones, and I ended up downloading all of the articles that you posted, because we were using, I had a player who wanted to play a Barbarian, and it wasn't doing all that he wanted. And so you provided some good use back then for my game. Like you said, you've been iterating this for almost 5 years, right?
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think the vital part was really just putting it online, because it's just not possible to playtest all this kind of material on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it really relied on having people who take the material to the table, just play with it and get back to me and say, hey, I have this player at the table. And, you know, we broke it in this way, and please fix this. And then, you know, I can go back and say, oh, yeah, okay, this is where things didn't quite work out the way I planned it. And so this is then how slowly the rules were iterated, and there's probably still some broken stuff in here and things that don't work or things that are hard to understand, but we're giving it our best shot, I think.
I was gonna say, you've got your Discord channel.
Yes.
So if people have questions, can they jump on there and ask it?
Absolutely. So if you go to the 13th Age Reddit, there is a link to the Discord, which is probably the easiest way to find it. And this Discord originally started as just playtesting for the Dark Allies material, but then people just started generally hanging out there and discussing 13th Age. And since I don't think there's another bigger 13th Age Discord, we just sort of reframed it as a general place for 13th Age fans to hang out. So yeah, everybody's invited to just come there. It's a small community, but it's a very positive community. And people just like to talk about how they play.
Cool. So in this book of Dark Allies, you have so many new options, but what is your favorite thing that you created in this book?
My favorite thing. So as a forever GM, I wish I had more chance to actually play it and then really choose my favorites. I can tell you what my least favorite is, which is the druid, because I spent so much time trying to make that class work. It just has so many weird little bits that you need to think about when you try to do things. I think maybe my favorite was working on the cleric, which you can kind of tell by the fact that it's 20 pages or so of this new cleric material. I think this goes back to sort of my love for the Dark Eye, because in the Dark Eye you have all these 12 deities, right? which are very varied and they all have their own portfolio and they really drive the game world.
Well, let's not forget the 13th.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, there's this 13th god. Oh my God, it's all connected. It's all,
suddenly there's conspiracy boards all over the world that are lighting up.
Right. So, and something that is for me is always missing in the D&D cleric is just this variety. Yes, you have all these domains and things, but in the end, it's still sort of this classic crusader image. And being able to play a cleric of love or of darkness or of thievery is just something that's very dear to my heart. And I love these kind of more darker, shadowy clerics. And so I went back to third edition and looked at all the other domains that they had, which are a bit more out there, and tried to bring them all into 13th Age. And then I spent so much time making, 35 new domains and over 100 new spells. And, the nice thing is that the community let me indulge and get away with it and just throw way too much material at them.
Like you said, you developed a lot of stuff. We have the core 15 classes plus all your new ones. Out of those, if you could play, if we could run a game for you, which class would you play? What's your favorite?
Oh, I think Sword Mage Necromancer multi-class. Because it's so when I played 4E, Sword Mage was my favorite class, and I basically only wrote this class so I could play it. You're just along for the ride.
I love the Sword Mage. That was my favorite class back in 4E, and they had a little bit of it in 3E, but I really felt like it shone in 4E, and you took all of my favorite parts from that and gave it to me in 13th Age.
Yeah, I gave it to myself, but I'm willing to share.
I appreciate that.
And Necromancer... So I never really got into the ghost theme, and maybe this is an aspect that I just never really lived out in real life. So I like characters that have a dark side to them and that are, you know, doing good, but doing good with evil or forbidden means. And the Necromancer just totally speaks to me. And I think the Necromancer from a pupa's design perspective is probably my favorite 13th Age class from all the official classes, simply because the Necromancer has always been an archetype in D&D, but it was always just sort of a subclass of wizard. And 13th Age just took this concept and just made it so much more, like just really went 250% in on it. And we just had a discussion on the Discord server where somebody didn't like the Wasting Away class feature. Hmm. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, Wasting Away just defines the class. Like, yeah. This idea that if you have too much constitution, you're too alive, you cannot be a necromancer. Like, yes, it's a downside to the class, but sometimes you just need to add this downside that really defines the class. So, for example, take the Abomination. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a key feature of the class is that they need to take a talent to be human again.
Right. Or elf. All right. So you've just wrapped up your second 13th Age book. Do you have any plans do you have anything in the works? Like, is there another book that you're planning on starting development on that you would like to share?
And will it be dark?
So somebody was joking that the next book is Dark Chocolate and Marshmallow.
Perfect.
I hope we did not blow your ears out with all of our laughter.
So anyway, so I have some ideas. Unfortunately, I have a very, very single mind, and I can only work on one project at once. So the next project will have to sort of start from scratch from here. And I think I really want to take 13th Age and take the game and make it into something that has a bit of a different flavor to it, different setting.
Okay.
But if I promise something now, then people expect me to make it.
Yeah, no, don't worry. Yep.
But so I've been really toying with maybe upping the tech level a bit, you know, steampunk, maybe industrial. You know, there's this whole range, like steampunk, dieselpunk, electropunk, mm-hmm. what is it? nuclear punk and then sort of future punk, something in that direction. And it's really about taking the balance between a full-time job and creating a role-playing game mm-hmm. book and playtesting it and making sure it works and writing all the lore and the setting.
That's a piece of cake, right? Right, yeah. Jam?
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for coming on and scheduling with us. This has been a lot of fun. Hopefully we can do it again. Just have you on and talk some 13th Age, maybe even a little Dark Eye, because as you said, meeting other Dark Eye fans in the wild is a rare occurrence.
And now that we've established the connection.
That's right.
Yeah, 13 gods.
Right.
Yeah, that's our next project. We should do a Dark Eye, a Aventuria conversion to 13th Age.
Crossover.
Yeah, there's 13 gods. There's 13 icons. That's just perfect.
Yeah. I'm on it. That's good. I mean, and unfortunately, so the rights to Dark Eye were on sale at some point for like $10,000 or something, and I wasn't aware of it. And I don't think I had $10,000 at the time, but man. I still regret just not snapping it up.
That's right.
With that
spare sack of $10,000 that we all have lying around that we're just waiting for our properties.
So Ulysses Games, you know, if you listen to this, send me an email.
That's right. Enjoy your day. Thanks for jumping on with this. And this has been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. And good remaining Saturday to you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.